Please welcome Glenn.
Well, Leave It to Me, I got it completely wrong. You know, Leave It to Beaver, Leave It to Glenn. Got it racing the clock. I thought it was against the clock. And so I built my story around against the clock, but I had to formulate it into racing the clock. So anyways, I'm going to start off by saying something about when I was in first grade, something really weird and strange happened to me. I've always been sort of a magical thinker when I was a kid. You know, I've always believed in Santa Claus, believed in fairies, the whole nine yards. And I thought they were just lurking somewhere hidden away. And if I could just look hard enough and meditate into it, I could find them. So me and Perkin are leaving the schoolyard because we always waited till the last moment. We wanted recess to last forever. So the bell rang. All the kids ran in. Perkin and I sort of meandered in towards the building, except I was following Perkin and I heard this squeaking sound, and I turned around, and in the middle of the schoolyard was this little swing set with a little girl with shoulder length, light brown hair, and a flouncy blue dress swinging in a swing. And I thought it was really weird, and I stopped and I looked, and she stopped swinging and she looked at me. And she waved, and I waved at her. And I thought, this is really weird. And so Perkin says, what are you doing? And I turned around, and I looked at him, and I said, who's that girl? And Perkin says, what girl? And so I looked over, and she was gone. So lunchtime, I did the same thing because I figured, okay, there's a certain timing to it. I have to go in. I have to be the last person. I have to be walking into the building and then turn around. But she wasn't there. Last recess, I did the same thing. She wasn't there. So I went home, and I was really puzzled about it. My dad noticed I looked kind of weird, you know, and he says, what's your problem, kid? And I said, well, Dad, something really strange happened today. And he says, well, you know, tell the old man. And he went and got a beer and lit a cigarette and sat there on the sofa and said, okay, tell me about it. So I told him the story. And my dad started asking me all these questions, you know, about, you know, how old was she, blah, 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 and are you sure you saw her? And he was really freaked out about it. And I said, no, I think I really saw her. And he said, she disappeared. And I said, yes. He says, okay, well, maybe she was a ghost or a spirit or something. And I said, I don't know what that is, Dad. And he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. If you see her again, I want you to run over there and grab her by the hand and drag her into the building with you because I want to meet this girl. And I said, but Dad, what if she takes me to wherever she's from? And my dad goes, God, you're smart for a kid. And he said, okay, don't do that. But if you see her again, make sure and tell me. I says, okay. So life continued. Let's see. Oh, I've always had this thing with time, timepieces, clocks. I've got 5 watches scattered around the house so that no matter where I go in the house, I always know what time it is. And I have 3 clocks. And one of them is a wind-up clock. I keep that. It ticks all the time. I just love the ticking. So I've always had this thing about time. I was always trying to do my fastest time in races. I ran 10Ks. I ran in track and field and wanted to do my fastest time. If I went on a bike ride, I'd leave my friends in the dust because I wanted to do the 120 miles as fast as I could and beat everybody else. And so that was my thing. And so for me, time was a big deal. So what I did was I started to write a book. And I started about 25 years ago. It took 10 years off because I had this girlfriend. And, well, she took a lot of time. She's really needy. So after she left me, I went ahead and continued writing. And I actually finished the book, and I was editing it. But didn't have a lot of time. I was working full-time at the time, actually working 2 jobs. And so what I would do is I'd take the book wherever I went. It could be lunchtime, break time. I'd have my little laptop. I'd work on it. I spent a lot of time at Starbucks. Recently, let's say between the past maybe 3 years, I started going to a bar. And I would sit there and write, go play some pool, come back, write a little bit more, drink a beer. Band would start playing. I'd put it all away. And that's what I did normally. So one day, I was sitting there, and I decided to play some pool, so I went in. This guy was really nice. He started talking to me. He bought me a beer, and then he invited me to play a pool game with him, his fiance, and this other woman who was his fiance's best friend. So I said, okay. So we played pool, 3 games, and lost 2. Anyway, I went and sat back down and started writing, and then the band was tuning up, so I was shutting everything down and saving everything. And his fiance comes in and sits with me, and she's staring at me, and I said, hi. And she says, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I'm working on my book. And she said, you got to be kidding me. You're working on a book in a bar. And I said, yeah. And she says, that is fascinating. And she says, so you're a writer. And I said, not really. I just like to write. I just wanted to do this life story. So she said, okay, listen, I'm a writer too. I do dream journals. And I said, really? Oh, you're a writer? I'm a writer? You should do a book. And she said, yeah, maybe I will. So she snagged my phone number. But I thought, she's 29 years old, very pretty, and I thought, this girl is never going to call me. Okay, part of my book is, basically I'm on an island, and I'm there by myself, so I get to reminisce about my entire life, and so that gives me, you know, ability to put in my life stories into this book. However, I meet this girl. Her name is Wendy. That's a character in the book. But the problem is we're sharing each other's stories, and I didn't really have a perspective on a 29-year-old woman. But I made up things, and I tried to place my, you know, I used stories, real stories from my life, but what I did was I jumped into the woman's perspective rather than my perspective, which was really hard. And so it worked out pretty good, and I was able to write some stories about Wendy. So I thought it was working out pretty good. Okay. So a month later, this other girl, the fiance, calls me. And she says, I'd like to talk to you. And I says, okay. So we meet at Starbucks. We talk for 2 hours. And the funny thing about this girl, as I'm listening to her talk, she's talking about her fiance and the problems she's having, and I'm going, no, that's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. God, the guy asked you to marry him. What's the big deal? You know, just marry him. What's, you know, you already got this date set and everything. But I'm thinking, holy cow, she reminds me of the girl in my book. For some reason, I had the girl in my book pictured, you know, the way she looked. And so I was just freaking out because I thought, this girl looks exactly like the girl I'm writing about. So I figured, okay, we did a 2 hour at Starbucks. That's it, right? So one day I'm coming home from work and she's sitting on the balcony. And she had too much to drink. And so took her into my apartment, made some coffee, and we started talking. We talked until 3 o'clock in the morning. She slept over that night. Next morning I had to go to work. I had to get up early. So I said, you know, just fix yourself breakfast, whatever. And so I left. However, she kept on coming over. So I thought, oh my gosh, I've got a 29-year-old, you know, girl. And I thought, I don't know how long this is going to last because at some point she's going to realize that I'm old and doesn't want to hang out with me. So I figured, okay, I got to get as much out of this as I can because she kept on coming over. We'd watch movies, we'd drink some wine, eat some popcorn, watch a movie, talk about the movie, talk about whatever. And then she'd start relating stories to me, personal stories. And two of her stories actually matched the stories that I'd written about Wendy. And so it worked out perfect. So about a month and a half later, she called me and she says she was really emotional. She was crying. And I said, what's wrong? She says, I went to Vegas and I met this guy. His name's Ian. He lives in Sacramento. So I said, oh, okay, what's the big D? And she says, well, I feel kind of funny because I want to spend time with him. I said, hey, go spend time with him. I mean, I'd gotten everything out of her. I mean, I was able to ask her questions. I built my story character. I felt good about it. And I figured, okay, this is perfect. She's going to run off with Ian. I thought, I'm done, finished. So I figured she'd never show up again, so I thought pretty happy about that. And then about 3 months later, I was at a church barbecue, and she called me on the phone and said, I need to talk to you. And I said, listen, we said we're going to kind of go our separate ways. Are you still with Ian? She says, yeah, it's working out really well. And she said, but I still need to talk to you. I says, okay, where do you want to meet? She says, meet me at the gazebo. So I drive to Shell Beach, get into her little silver BMW, and we're sitting there having this conversation. And she apologized for being with Ian. I said, why are you apologizing? I'm too old. You're too young. You know, let's just call it even. You know, we had a great time. We talked to each other. You gave me a lot of really neat stories. So I said, what's the big D? And she said, I don't know. I've been dreaming about you. And then I remembered, she dream journals. So I said, I hope they weren't any weird dreams. And she said, no, they're not. I said, what on earth got you started in this dream journal? She said, oh, when I was 8 years old, I had the most fantastic dream. She said, we were living in Houston, and my dad was planning on moving to California. And I was freaking out because I lived in Houston my entire life, and I did not want to move. I didn't want to make new friends. I didn't know if I could make new friends. I never had to do that. So she said, one night, I had this most fantastic dream. And she said, I was swinging in my swing in the backyard, except my swing wasn't in the backyard. It was in this strange schoolyard with all these children running around. And she said she didn't know where the schoolyard was. She'd never seen it before. She didn't know any of the children. But they're just running around completely ignoring her. And she thought, I'm invisible. So she kept on swinging. The bell rang. All the children ran into the building except for two little boys. One little boy stopped and turned around and looked at her. And so she said she stopped swinging and she looked at him. And then she waved at him and he waved back. And then he turned back to his friend, looked at her, like he couldn't see her, and went into the building with his friend. And she said that she woke up and she said that was the most fantastic dream that I'd ever had. I wrote it down immediately. I told my mother about it because she knew this dream was encouraging her that no matter where she went in life, no matter what school she went to, what children she had to meet, she would always find somebody nice. Now, I want you to know that when I saw that little girl on the playground, this girl wasn't even born yet. So that just shattered my entire time zone theology or whatever you want to call it. I fell apart for 2 days. I didn't know what to do with myself because I couldn't figure this out.